want to think about Charles Dickens, as I mentioned him this Sunday morning, and the spirit of Christmas past. Remember that? He had a dream, and spirit of Christmas past came to him. And then there was the spirit of Christmas present, and then the spirit of Christmas future. And these came to him in hope of saving Ebenezer Scrooge from a selfish life, and also so he wouldn't, in the story, wouldn't wind up like Jacob Marley did in the afterlife. And I preached on Sunday, last Sunday, on how the Lord succeeded to beat the devil when he came the first time by playing a judo move on the devil. The devil knew he came to reign. He knew he was going to be the king of the world. But the devil didn't see how the Lord was going to beat him, and he moved to get him killed. And it worked. He got the Jewish people to reject him. And then he moved to get him killed, and they nailed him to the cross, not realizing prophecy was being fulfilled, not realizing that that was the death knell to Satan, because Jesus took the judgment for the very sin that Satan had brought into the world, and now that gave Jesus the right to take over the world, amen, because he now paid for our sins, and he also paid for the planet to be released from the curse. Remember that. So a great victory was won in Christmas past. But for my message tonight, I'd like to talk mainly about Christmas future and the devil's biggest final attempt. And who wants to steal Christmas future and the great things that the Lord has in store for us? Well, Satan, he's called the dragon, but who wants to steal Christmas? You ever heard of the Grinch, Bobby? All right, so that's what I want to talk about tonight. And here's what I want to say about this tonight. The Grinch, the dragon, Satan, won't be able to steal Christmas future. He can't do it. He can't do it. And tonight, I want to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation in chapter 12. And as I think about the Grinch, I think about that song, "You Really Are a Heel. You're a cuddly, you're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, and stunk. Now, I want to say that in Revelation chapter 12, we're going to look at Christmas future. And Satan wants to steal away the second coming of our Savior. When he came the first time, he came in humility and he came to die. He came in weakness. But when he comes the second time, it's going to be in glorious power. And it's going to light up the sky, and the glory of God is going to be seen. And may I say that prophecies leading up to his second coming are getting ready to be fulfilled. I still believe you're going to see Iran's nuclear sites knocked out. I still believe that you're going to see Israel. Islam and the neighbors around Israel, they're going to try once again to defeat Israel, and Israel's going to defeat them, and you're going to see it become Israelistine, not Palestine. Glory of God. You're going to see the Russians come down with the former Soviet Union, Islamic countries, like all the stands, and you're going to see them come with other countries in Africa, and they're going to try to get rid of Israel once again. It will not work. And so I want to talk tonight about the war we're going to have, and the Grinch won't be able to steal your Christmas future. And I've read the last page of the Bible, and the Lord gets the victory. So the dragon, the Grinch, won't be able to steal your Christmas future in the war for the world. In the war for the world. There is a war going on. And I'd like to read in Revelation 12, 1 and 2, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and had a crown of 12 stars." Now, some people have said the woman is the church. The Catholics thought the woman is the church, you know, the Virgin Mary, that the woman is the church. But it says that the woman is clothed with the sun and had a crown of 12 stars. Now, if you know your Bible, in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 9, Joseph had a prophetic dream. And in that dream, he was one of the stars, but the other 11 stars bowed down to him, and so did the sun and the moon. And Jacob said to Joseph, "Are you saying that your brothers, your mother, and I are going to bow down to you?" And of course, it was going to happen, because they did bow down to Joseph in Egypt, and he provided bread for them. They didn't even know he was dressed up like an Egyptian ruler, but they didn't know it was their own brother. And so, based on that, who is this woman with 12 stars and the sun and the moon? One of the men, tell me if you know. All right, let me go over here to Jose Valley.
Israel.
It's the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel. God's not done with Israel. Oh, they thought, the Romans thought they got rid of Israel. In AD 70, they went after Israel and they destroyed the temple and burned it, and they just made a mess of things. They even started beating on the foundation stones under the temple, and they did it. By the way, do you know what Zion is? Zion is the holy mount, the temple mount. That's the center of everything. Why do you think Satan fights so hard for that? Why do you think it wasn't just Islam that fights for that temple mount and put the shrine of the Dome of the Rock right exactly over where the Holy of Holies was? That Dome of the Rock covers where the Holy of Holies was. In fact, when they tried to excavate, Rabbi Getz tried to excavate right under that, the Jordanians, who foolishly, the Israelis in 1967, to keep peace, gave them the right to administer the Temple Mount. That was foolish. But the Jordanians put some men in there to stop any future digging. You know what the son of Hamas says about that, who I believe is a saved man, and this guy is the most exciting man. He says that was dumb for the Jewish people to give that over. And he said, we need to pray that the parliament would make a law to break through that cement. I believe you'll find the Ark of the Covenant in there. I believe that you will see things happen there. And I am saying this is ground zero for the control of the world. Zion, which is the Temple Mount, and Zion has been extended to Jerusalem, which is the city of Jerusalem, and Zion has been extended to the nation of Israel. Now, people call people like me that preach like me, oh, you're just a Christian Zionist. Amen and amen, brother. If you knew your Bible, you would be too. I'm saying that Satan is the dragon, and he wants to steal Christmas future, and Christmas future is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, on the Temple Mount, and in the Holy of Holies, in the Millennial Temple, reigning over the world as a king and as a priest, and all the nations of the world are going to come there to be taught by the Lord. Do you know that? It's such a wonderful thing. The devil knows that, and he fights against it. And I don't know what you're thinking about this Christmas. I know that there's visions of sugar plums dancing in your heads and all that. But I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. Jesus is coming back. I'm one day closer to it. I'm one year closer to it. I'm one Christmas closer to it. Jesus is coming back, and nothing can stop it. Islam can't. It wasn't just Islam that fought the Temple Mount. The Romans tried to do it under Hadrian. There was a rebellion of the Jews after AD 70 again against Rome. And in 110 AD, AD 110, Hadrian, the Roman emperor, said, let's get rid of those Jews and turn that mountain into a toilet and just ruin it. And he did it. And then he said, who's the greatest enemy of the Jews? Who's the greatest enemy of the Jews? And you know what they told him? The Philistines. And in the Latin, it's Palestina. And he named it Palestina. And he set up his shrines there, pagan shrines. And he claimed that and said Palestine, basically. That's what it is. The British called it Palestine. It's never Palestine. By the way, the Quran never has it as Palestine. They never mention Palestine. The Quran never mentions Jerusalem. It's always Mecca. And Muhammad, he wanted to convert some Jews, and so he faced Jerusalem from Saudi Arabia and started talking about it, but they wouldn't get converted, so he killed them all, and then he turned his back to Jerusalem and bowed down to Mecca when he was in Medina. And by the way, the Islamic people that go up there on the Temple Mount, they turn their rear end to the temple, and they bow down, and they face Mecca. You see, and they turn their rear end toward the holy site. That's a holy mount. I'm saying to you, you're living in exciting times. And there is a war for the world. And Israel is right at the center of the conflict. You know, there are people like that mayor of New York. What's that guy's name? Mondami. And Mondami, he just said recently, you know, we don't like anti-Semitism. I'm not for anti-Semitism. He said there's a difference between Israel and anti-Semitism. No, there's not. You say, Pastor, is Israel perfect? No. Is the United States perfect? Is Red China perfect? Is Russia perfect? Israel's about the size of New Jersey, but why are they always harping on Israel? Why? Because Satan is obsessed with Israel. And he has devils that influence people. And he knew that he had the demon rat party, that, as I call them, and I'm rightfully calling them that, against Israel. It wasn't always like that with when they were the Democrats. But now he's going after the Republican Party. He wants to get all nations against Israel. And it's going to happen. The Bible predicts it and prophesies. Why? Because Satan knows that if he can get rid of the Jews and Israel, he can stop the kingdom of God. Because when you get saved, heaven comes down and glory fills your soul. Amen. It did when I got saved. It did when you got saved. But when the Jewish nation gets saved, in one day, and we know the day, according to Hosea 6:2, it's the third day after the end of the 70th week of Daniel, day 3, Jesus will already be on the ground. the whole nation will get saved when he appears. Then the kingdom of God will come to earth. What a time that is, and it's coming. And so, you see, the problem with these quote-unquote Christians that preach against the nation of Israel and accuse people like me of being a Zionist because of what I'm saying, their problem is what we call replacement theology. Did the Jews sin when Jesus came? Absolutely. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. Give us the blood. He's not our Messiah. Crucify him. Crucify him. And they couldn't do it legally, so they got Pilate through political pressure to crucify their Messiah. It said, King of the Jews, right up there. They didn't like that either. He's not our king. But let me tell you something. The church did not replace Israel. Oh, they suffered through the ages. That was God's chastening suffering for rejecting the Messiah. Horrible things. They've gone through a lot. But God will not break his promises. God will not break his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why after almost 2,000 years, they came together and the nation of Israel was born. And they have a great army called the IDF when Hitler had them marching into concentration camps. That was the devil trying to extinguish the nation. You ought to be happy tonight what I'm telling you. Because that means you've got a God that doesn't love you one day and hate you the next, love you one day and reject you the next. No, you have a God that once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. And I'm just praising God for this woman called Israel. But there's the Grinch. You know what the Grinch is? He's evil. He started out as a snake that could talk and walked around. It was an upright reptile. And he walked around. He chose Eve because he said, I can deceive the woman, I believe, and get her. And then I'll get Adam through the woman, and he'll go with her. And so he did it. He was successful. Adam was the first king of the world. There was no death, no sin, no sin. But his kingdom was based on he did not sin. If he did not sin, that no death would come. It would be a paradise. It would be beautiful. But Satan got to him, got Eve, and she gave to Adam, and he ate the forbidden fruit. And the Bible says that was the devil, the dragon. And it says in Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. What's that? The dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. What is that? Satan, we know, is the dragon. We know he wants to get rid of the nation of Israel. But the dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. What's that?
7 world powers.
He's exactly right. 7 world powers. They're called mountains. And those mountains aren't the 7 hills of Rome. They're sorry excuse for mountains. Mountains are kingdoms. And these are kingdoms with leaders over them. Listen to me, 7 leaders, and the last one will have 10 horns, which will be an 8th kingdom. We know that from Revelation. And each one of these leaders tried to really do Israel in. First of all, you had, of course, you all know Egypt. And Pharaoh, he tried to kill the Jewish children, remember, the men? He tried to extinguish the nation at the Red Sea. God buried him and his people in the Red Sea. It wasn't successful. They were a superpower. And these were unarmed slaves. God wouldn't let them. He made a promise. That was Egypt. That's one. And then number 2, you had Assyria in BC 722, Assyria, most terrible power, they came down and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel after it split in two. That's number two. Number three, after Assyria, you know about it from Daniel, you had Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Remember that? The golden image, and Nebuchadnezzar attacked defeated Israel and burned the temple in 586 B.C. Sorry, he didn't destroy the temple until 586 B.C. That's the third one, Babylon. The fourth one was Persia, modern-day Iran. They became a great world power. And you say, well, Persia was a friend to Israel. They, under Cyrus, they're a friend. Yeah, but who was the, Persia was in power and some of Israel remained in captivity, who tried to destroy the Jews from the Persian Empire? Haman. I don't know what that meant, but Haman. And that was number four. Number five is what, Sarge?
Greece.
And you say, well, Alexander the Great, he didn't destroy, but he Hellenized everything. He Hellenized everything. That meant he got the Greek culture. Kind of reminds me of today, you know. People did the Olympics and they swam naked and all this stuff. And that was the thing. And so when he died, when he's about 30 years old, Alexander the Great died after he conquered the world. And then he had a big debauch party. And who took over? Four generals. And they represented four different powers, and one of them was from Syria, and his name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he took over the temple when he attacked Egypt. He came back. He took over the temple. He got the priests there to corrupt themselves and slay a pig, an abomination to the Jews, on the altar of the temple. He put an image of Jupiter, the god, a false god, and of course the devils are behind these, put it in the Holy of Holies, and that was a picture of what the beast is going to do with the help of the Antichrist in Christmas future. And that was what are we up to? Number five, right? What's number six that followed the Grecian Empire? By the way, let me just explain to you, all of these empires had a Satan-filled individual that wanted to annihilate the Jews. Why? To stop the kingdom of God from coming to earth. You are living in such exciting times. I've been watching this since 1967. I've been watching this. In fact, even before I was saved, my great-grandmother told me about it when she was on TV in the 1950s watching the tanks of Israel. So what's the next empire after Greece? Did you have your hand up? I don't want to pick on you.
Rome.
Yeah, he's right. Rome, the Roman Empire. That's number six, Roman Empire. And we just talked about the Roman Empire, what they did, and how they scattered the Jews. But wait a minute. That's number six. There are seven empires. After that, the Jews were scattered out of their land. And Satan tried to exterminate them one more time by a man who tried to revive the Roman Empire by conquering all of Europe. Who is that man, Sarge?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler! Heil Hitler! And that seventh beast empire was, Hitler was so, listen to this, he was so caught up on destroying the Jews that he did stupid things in the war because he wanted to just kill Jews. They were the final solution. He thought that, by the way, everybody like Hitler, if you read Mein Kampf, everybody that hates God's program will start blaming the Jews and saying they control everything. When you get some family member and they get into that, they've been bit by that bug saying the Jews control everything, that's a lie. God controls everything. They have an Abrahamic blessing, so he does often bless them. And people get envious of that and hateful of that. But they've suffered a lot. They don't control everything. God does. And Satan hates them. So when you start saying, when the dog bite, it's Jews. When the bee stings, it's Israel. When I'm feeling sad, I blame Israel. You know that's Satan. And so this man, Adolf Hitler, he began to get into that and became controlled by Satan. And finally, I read the book, The Twisted Cross. Hitler was not a Christian, but he got a lot of professing Christians to follow him. You know what he did? Replacement theology. They believed replacement theology, that the church were what it's all about. Israel's not even important. Well, listen, you wouldn't even have a church without the Jews. The Messiah was a Jew. Your Old Testament is Jewish. You wouldn't even have it. So Hitler got a lot of professing Christians to follow him, and they just let all this happen. Listen, I am all we need for evil to triumph is good men to say nothing. I'm not here to unite the MAGA movement. I'm here to preach the Bible. And let the chips fall where they may. Politically. You don't like that? Well, figure a way to lump it, because that's what's important today. And I believe God will bless. But I'm just saying to you that that was the Seventh Empire. And Hitler, I read it in The Twisted Cross by Joseph Carr, and the eyewitness account of his chauffeur just before he shot himself, and Eva Braun shot themselves, and Hitler's didn't go to South America and all that gobbledygook. Their body was burned, but they found bone fragments and so forth. That can be, well, I won't get into that right now. But anyway, his chauffeur said, who do we look for, mein Führer? You're going to kill yourself. Who do we look for? He goes, look for the coming man. And he is coming. And he's going to come out of that same people of the Roman Empire. And I believe the Japhetic people, and he's coming out. And that empire is going to be a world-ruling empire. It's going to have 10 kings. 10 kings working with this beast. But you know what? Revelation 13 says, Revelation 17 says, that this beast is going to come from what? One of what? Does anybody know one of the men? This beast, this future Christmas future, this beast that's coming to power, and you children may be alive when it happens. I may even be alive when it happens. If I keep eating my vitamins.
He's going to come from one of the seven beast empires.
He's going to come from one of those seven beast empires. And when he comes, he's going to have face recognition, name recognition. At first, he's going to be incognito. Nobody will know who it is. But after 3.5 years of the final 7 years before the 1,000 years of Christ's kingdom, after 3.5 years, he's going to pull the mask off or come out and say who he is. And when he does it, people will worship him. And they're going to say, who's able to stand against this beast? Well, who's the one man people would recognize out of those seven? And say, who's able to stand? And they're going to worship the devil, the dragon, the Grinch. They're going to worship him. It says it in Revelation. Can you imagine that? What would lead that to that? Guys like Nick Fuentes right now. Women like Candace Owens right now. It's setting it up. It's preparing people to dehumanize the Jewish people and to delegitimize. Delegitimize. I can't even say it tonight. Delegitimize. That's something. Israel. The nation of Israel. But they are legit. Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37, you'll see Psalm 83, you'll see all these prophecies coming to pass. God is doing it. And the dragon, he just cannot help himself. He is the Grinch, you know, the Grinch just can't help himself. He always wanted to steal Christmas. And so that's the first thing I want to say, that the Grinch won't be able to steal Christmas future in the war for the world that has been going on. By the way, it's been going on now for 6,000 years. Guess who's going to win that war? Number two, in the war for Christmas past and present and future, that the Grinch won't be able to steal Christmas. Look what it says in verse 5. And she, that's Israel, brought forth a man-child. Who would that man-child be? You know, that's the Lord. Who is to rule, Christmas past, right? Who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, future. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Let me ask you a question. When was the child who grew up to be a man caught up to God in the past and to his throne? One of the men, if you know, raise your hand. When did that happen? All right, Brother Jose Valley.
I think it was after 40 days after his resurrection.
Exactly right. He died, he was buried, 3 days and three nights. He rose, and for 40 days he taught, he ate with the disciples, he commissioned them. For 40 days he was here on earth with his resurrection body. Then he went up on the Mount of Olives, where I was when I went to Israel, and he ascended up to heaven. He said, I'm going to come back, just like I've gone. So this is talking about that. So it goes from his birth, and now it jumps right up to his ascension. You remember how Satan tried to stop him under Herod, who was a Roman ruler. He tried to stop him, a descendant of Esau. How did he try to stop him? He said, hey, I want to worship him. So you just tell me where he is. And God said, don't you go talk to that snake, that fox. Go back another way. So what did he do? What did he do to have war against Israel and their Messiah, the woman and the... What did he do, Brother Matthew? What did he do?
The children.
He killed all the children in the Bethlehem area because the Bible scholars told him, that's Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem. I went to Bethlehem. I went to the spot where he was born. It was something. And he killed all those babies, and the women cried and wept. There's a lot of pain. And that's what this is talking about in the war of Christmas past. Well, how does that relate to Christmas present? Right now, Jesus is a high priest. I'm glad he's praying for me this Christmas. He was praying for me last Christmas. He'll be praying for me the day after Christmas and the day after that. This is Christmas present. We've got somebody who conquered the devil on the cross, who rose again, who ascended into the third heaven, and he's head over everything for what? The church. Everything is for his beloved bride. Do you know how much he loves his bride? You say, who is his bride? Jew and Gentile. Mainly Gentile. He married a Gentile bride like Boaz who married Ruth. He married a Gentile bride. And now the people have got her. But he loves the Gentile bride. And so you can know tonight that whatever problem you've got, you could go to your priest. I witnessed to a lady over there at Home Depot as I was trying to get something for my daughter who wanted to get an airtight container for unmilled wheat, because she's going to mill the wheat and all that, make bread. So I was over there, and I talked to this lady. Her name was Mary. I started talking to her. She started talking about Peter being the Pope. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. I said, wait a minute, Peter, that's the name Petros. That means a little stone. I said, the big stone that he said he would build his church on would be Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. 1 Corinthians 4 said, other foundation, it's Christ, I told her. And I just kept witnessing to her. Roman Catholic, sweet lady, sweet lady. And I kept pointing her to Christ. I said, you know, you talk about the keys, because she brought up the keys. I said, Peter opened the gospel to the Jews. He opened the gospel to the Samaritans, who were half Jew, half Gentile. He opened the gospel to all Gentiles in Caesarea when he went to Cornelius. I said, then Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. And she thought Peter was buried under the Vatican. I didn't even argue about that one. He's buried in the Holy Land. But anyway, I said, after I witnessed to her, would you pray to receive Christ and trust Christ alone? And she did. She hugged me. I gave her a tract. Sweet little lady. I'm just saying, Christmas present, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. He's the center of it. He was actually conceived in the womb of Mary about this time. He was born in September while shepherds were abiding in their fields by night because it was warm in September, enough to be out there. And Joseph and Mary could have never taken that trek with a pregnant woman in the winter. Believe me, it's harsh. It was 9 months later, but he was conceived right around December 25th in the womb of Mary. That's when God became flesh and began to dwell. That's why I don't believe in abortion. One reason. What if Mary would have believed in abortion, huh? I'm just saying Christmas past in the war for the world, in the war for Christmas past, present, and future, the Lord is going to win this thing. And then I want you to notice Romans chapter 12 and go with me up to verse 6. And after her son ascended into heaven, it says in verse 6, and the woman Israel fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. What is that? 1,260 days. What is that? 3.5 biblical years. 3.5 biblical years. 42 biblical months. What's going to happen? When Hitler comes back, people are going to like, oh, this is awesome. Do you know right now, America is the one nation that has kept blessing the Jews, but they're starting to turn. All the other nations, Stormer in England and Australia, that guy, they had a shooting up there on Bondi Beach. You hear about that? Where these guys just shot the Jews, mowed them down, Hanukkah. Crickets from the leaders. How sad. How wicked. How dark. It's going to get dark. I pray the light lasts in the United States. I'm praying for a revival. I'm praying for God. And you should be too. That's what I preached on Sunday night. But I'm just saying, you need to recognize it's not about, oh, people ask me, hey, did Israel do anything wrong? Yeah, of course. I just told you a lot of things they've done wrong. But God will not break His covenant with them. It's all about God. He chose them. That's why people are obsessed with Israel. Because Satan is obsessed with Israel. Because he wants to get rid of them. And when Hitler comes back by cloning, watch a movie called The Brazil Boys with Gregory Peck. It's all about cloning Hitler. This was done back in the 1980s. Think of where technology is now. It's going forward. Scary. So I'm just saying, Christmas future, when he rises, these Jews are going to freak out and say, what? Not again. Yes, again. Yes, again. But this time, some great eagle, I don't know what that is, some great eagle Wouldn't it be great if it was the United States arising and helping? I don't know. But some great eagle will fly them, airlift them, and get them to what today is southern Jordan, where it's impenetrable. They'll be in the mountains, in the caves, and the beast won't be able to get them with his technology. It's amazing. Keep them safe. For 3.5 years, through the rest of the Great Tribulation and the part of the Day of the Lord wrath, they'll be safe there. Christmas past, present, and future, the war. I'm saying that the Grinch won't be able to steal Christmas in the war for the world, in the war for Christmas past, present, and future, and in the war for heaven. We're not talking about heaven in our school, but pray for her, amen? The war for heaven, right? Heaven professed faith when I preached in the last chapel of the semester. She came. Pray for heaven. Wouldn't it be great if we could give Satan heaven? Give him heaven to defeat him. Well, it says, and there was war. This is Revelation 12, 7, 8. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, you all know that Satan was the dragon, and with his tail, he took 1/3 of the stars. The angels are called stars. He took them, and they followed Satan. 1/3. Can you imagine that? Perfect home. He got rebellion of 1/3 of the stars. God's the father of that home. God was the father of the sons of God. The angels are stars, sons of God. They're sons of God without belly buttons. Why? They don't have a mom. I got a belly button because my mom. They don't have mom. They're sons of God without moms. God just made them. And they're male-like, but he just made them. Anyway, they follow Satan. And in the future, there's going to be a big war. Right now, Satan can still come, report to God, even though he's fallen. God could crush him, but for 6,000 years, he's allowed this evil to play out. Why? God wants to show us evil is not the way to go. Don't go. Don't follow the world. Don't follow the devil. He's showing us that. And so Satan can still get up there. But in the future, halfway, 3.5 years into the final 7 years, right at that point, right when Hitler's going to be revealed, there's a big war in heaven. Why is there that big war in heaven? Michael, the archangel, the one that can fight the devil. But the devil's powerful. He doesn't only have 1/3 of the angels fighting against 2/3. And they're going to have Star Wars up there. And Michael's going to win. But the Bible says in Daniel 12 that he's going to stand up and he's going to stand down as he stands up. And what does that mean? Michael is the guardian and protector of Israel. Do you know that's why the Iranians couldn't crush them? That's why the Arabs... Michael is protecting Israel. And the mystery of iniquity is already working. People want to see the beast come. They want to kill Israel. But Michael keeps it from happening. You say, how do the Jews keep on getting it? It must be all this conspiracy stuff going on. That's how they're doing. And I'm not saying there's not conspiracy stuff. You know, there's conspiracies. In the United States, we have a deep state. So does Israel. But it's Michael. An invisible spirit being, an angel, and his angel that are protecting Israel. And when he fights Satan, Satan is going to be kicked out of heaven, never to come back to heaven again. He's going to be kicked out and sent down to the earth. And the Bible says here in Revelation 12, oh, rejoice in the heavens, but woe to you that live on the earth. Because now these devils are going to get inside images of Hitler. Everybody will have an AI image of Hitler and ask it things. My son was telling me, he's doing a real estate deal. He just asked AI all this, my oldest son. He asked AI all this and he gave him all this. It was amazing, all this stuff. That ChatGPT. Just watch out. It's going to turn. All you love ChatGPT, it's all going to turn. You're getting help. I'm just saying, know your prophecy. Know what's going to happen. It's all going to turn. And Satan is going to use this. And basically, those images, listen to me. Who is speaking? An image, an idol can't speak. Who is speaking through those idols? And you know what they're going to say? That person doesn't have the mark. Get him. And the Bible says, daughters will turn in their mothers. Sisters will turn in their brothers. It'll be a time in the last days. What will come? Perilous times. Anybody know? Who's behind those? Okay, I got you right here.
The fallen angels?
Yeah, the fallen angels. Speaking through the idol. Speaking through the idol. I could tell you stuff about what my youngest son did with ChatGPT. He got rid of his. He asked it certain things about the King James Bible, the real Bible. On and on. But anyway, there's a war in heaven. And it's going to be a time. It's not going to last for 3.5 years. The Bible says in Matthew 24, this time will be so bad, God's going to cut it short. There will be Philadelphian-type churches where God will supernaturally protect the Christians, like Elijah and like Moses in Jerusalem. There'll be people in Jerusalem, when they're persecuted in one city, they'll flee to the next. And they'll be able to keep doing that until the Son of Man appears. But there'll be others like Smyrna that will give their lives. But they'll be prepared for it. Then there'll be the compromising Christians. They won't be ready for any of this stuff. But at the last minute, they won't compromise. They'll have to not take the mark. Because if you take the mark, you're never saved. Or at least they're saved, but they've been... Stop your compromising with the world. Live all out for God. So you can be prepared for this end time war that we're talking about. A war for the world. A war of Christmas past, present, and future. A war that will be in heaven. All in Revelation 12, which is the big chapter of this big fight. You know, I like a good boxing match where you get a great fighter. I think one of the greatest fighters of all time, pound for pound, is... I like Manny Pacquiao. He's very good. But Bud Crawford, Terrence Bud Crawford, I think he's the best. He retired undefeated. He's the best. I watched Bud Crawford all. I love to watch his fights. Love the way he fights. But this is better. This is God. And 6,000 years, this war. We're in the end of the end times. The end time began Christmas past when Jesus was born. And when he was in the womb of Mary. But the final one is coming. We're getting close. And then we see finally the war for the earth. And I'd like you to look at Revelation 12. I'm just about done. Revelation 12, 13 and 14. You look at it. I'll read it. It says, therefore rejoice ye heavens. I'm sorry. That's 13. Next verse. And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings. I've already talked about that. The dragon is Satan, the Grinch. He's using Hitler, his man, coming back, to persecute the woman. You know, Hitler had a man that did all of his murders. He organized all these death camps. And he made killing a business. He did it so well. His name was Heinrich Himmler. Heinrich Himmler. Satan has a plan for Israel. And here's what it is. Take my mark, which is probably an RFID tattoo on your hand, but you can cut your hand off and still, so on your forehead, you can't cut your head off, either on the hand or forehead. Do you know Hitler, when he came the first time, he marked all the Jews? First he made them wear a star, yellow star. Then he marked them with tattoos. They still have those tattoos. When I was about 30 years old, I went to knock on a door. I had a leather coat on. I was a pastor, but I looked like a dude, a leather coat. And I knocked on this lady's door. She was an older lady. And she looked at me through the door, and she said, "Come right on in." And I said, "Okay." I went in. And then I was going to tell her, "You know, you really shouldn't have let me in. I got a leather coat on. You don't know. I could be a serial killer. You know, you shouldn't just let me in, ma'am." She said, "I looked into your eyes." I said, "The eyes are the window of the soul." And then she showed me her hand. She'd met evil, Joseph Mengele, the angel of death, and all these Nazis. She said, "I know evil." I gave her the gospel. Leah Fish. Her name was Leah Fish. Her husband owned a big grocery store downtown Scranton. I'm just saying. Satan, the dragon, wants to either assimilate the Jews by giving them his mark. He'll accept them if they'll accept his program. Or he'll annihilate the Jews. He's going to be after them. He still is. Then, when he's got all the Jews he can get, he's not going to be able to get them all, right? One third are going to escape and be preserved. One third of the present Jewish nation is going to escape. God's going to see to it. That won't take the mark, or he won't be able to kill. Here it is, and I want to just look at the last verse here. And let's look at Revelation 12 and go to verse 17. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Galatians says the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. We just saw that at the beginning of the chapter. "And the remnant of the woman's seed," Israel's seed, "the remnant of the are believers in Jesus Christ." Gentiles, many of them. In the church. And after he attacks the Jews in Jerusalem, and they're lifted and given protection, now he's going to go after believers. Now he's going to go after Christians. God will supernaturally protect many, but many will be martyred. Some will be prepared, some won't be prepared. You should be prepared. Let's pray. You know, in Dickens' book, Christmas Future, wasn't that scary? But what happened to Scrooge when he saw that? Boy, he decided to hit the altar and get right. You're not saved by doing good works, but if you are saved, it's time to walk with God. If anybody has not really trusted Jesus as your Savior, now is the time to do it. Because listen to me, even if you don't take the mark, because you know about all this, without the Holy Spirit, you're still not going to be saved. You have to be saved. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Christmas Eve, before Christmas Eve. Thank you, O Lord, for Israel, that you made a nation in Genesis 11 through 50, and preserved through all the beast empires, and will preserve, and gave us the Savior. Lord, I pray if there's anybody that has not looked to him in simple faith in this congregation, that they would do it and then testify of it. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody that has been playing into the devil's hands by not following closely Jesus, that this would be the time they would get right. In In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that we stand together. We're going to have an invitation. If you need to come to the altar and pray, you come for revival. Pray for God's judgments and to fall upon our country and keep us a window, keep us a time that we could have some more Christmases of freedom. The midterms are coming up. What's going to happen? You need to pray. You need to witness. You need to work for the Lord. That's the most important thing you can do during these times. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, I thank you for these that have come to prayer meeting tonight. I thank you for these that have come to the altar. Lord, we pray for your blessing. We pray that we would know your word and be informed and then